Try it again. Good morning. Now I hear it. We have a few visitors with us today. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us and took time out of your schedule to come and worship God together with us. We hope that your time together, especially from God's eyes, will be profitable. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but you have a task that is ahead of you, and it sometimes is overwhelming. The scripture this morning was about Nehemiah rebuilding the wall, and that was a huge task. And it had gotten that way due to years of neglect, years of negligence. And I don't know if you've ever maybe suffered a health issue that might have been from neglect. And you've got a big road ahead of you, you know, to recuperate and to recover. Maybe a situation with your family. Maybe the loss of a job. And in your eyes, it is overwhelming what you have to do. And I remember a joke once, or I don't know if it's a joke, but you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And you just, you start and you just keep going and you keep going with whatever task it is that you've got. We've all faced that probably, whether it be personally or sometimes spiritually. Maybe people fall away from the church, maybe get caught up in sin, and it just spirals out of control. And before you know it, you are so far away from where you had been, whether it be due to sin or just neglect. And how do you get back? You, a step at a time, a brick at a time. And when I look at this in Nehemiah, and in fact, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Nehemiah, the first chapter. We're going to be there. I don't have an outline today. I tried about five different times of trying to figure out how to do an outline for this, but we're in Nehemiah. And we're not going to be going anyplace else, but I'd like for us to look at the account of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And as I was studying this, I just kept thinking, not only the spiritual aspect of it, but the physical also, that sometimes we face things that is just a huge undertaking. And I kept making that in my mind. And if you would turn to Nehemiah, I'm going to stand over here because that wall blocks the signal, I think. Nehemiah, the first chapter, Nehemiah is heartbroken over what he realizes. He realizes what the situation is. And starting in verse 3, it says, "And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.'" When you think about this situation, this is a very symbol. Those outer walls, it's what protects Jerusalem. It's the first thing you see, these walls, the gates. When people come to Jerusalem, that's what they saw. And out of neglect and out of negligence on their part after being defeated. Have you ever been defeated? It just seems like in the cartoons, get bonked on the head with that big mallet. And sometimes bonked again and again. And just sometimes beaten down. Those walls were beaten down. In verse 4 it says, So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah saw the situation that the Israelites had gotten into, and it hurt him. He wept about this. It bothered him. I'm glad it did. Have you ever been through a situation where maybe sin doesn't bother you? Or you sin and it still does? Glad it does. Glad it hurts. When in my life I do something, I say something, and it bothers me, I'm glad. Because it still affects my heart. Nehemiah was heartbroken over the situation for the Israelites and Jerusalem. In the next chapter, starting in verse 1 in Nehemiah 2, it says, "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes." This happens to be, I know it doesn't matter one whit to you, the history teacher in me, happened to be 444 B.C. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." Tell you, isn't that just the truth? You can have nothing wrong physically with you. But if your heart is sad, if you're down in the dumps, it affects you. And people can see it. It's not like you've broken a bone. It's not like you've got an earth-shattering illness. But they can see it. It's from within. "So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" That's all he wanted. He wanted to do what he could. He wanted to rebuild something that was so special to him and spiritually important to God. Skipping a few verses over in verse 17, it says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are now in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Amorite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you were doing? Will you rebel against the king?' So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem.'" You realize what needs to be done. You have a resolution to do something. You get people behind you. They're going to support you in this effort. And then others, they despise you and start mocking you and making fun, trying to stop you. It's a tough enough battle anyway, a tough enough task set before these people, and then these outsiders are mocking them, poking fun, and Nehemiah responds, basically, God will prosper us, and you have no interest in this. You don't have a part in this. Jerusalem is not as special to you as it is to us. It's just a city to you. You have no heritage, no right, no memorial in this matter. In the fourth chapter, turn over a couple chapters, starting in verse 9, it says, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious." He doesn't have interest in, they're doing something that he didn't want them to do. That's all it was. He thought he had more influence, more impact on these people. He didn't want them to do it. They're going ahead and doing it. A positive work, a good work. He became furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned? What is it they're trying to do? They're not going to be able to finish this in a day." He might have known himself. He might have known maybe tasks that he had done, losing interest after a while. Are they going to be able to finish it in a day? They're going to lose interest. They're not going to stick to it. It's going to be tough. Have you ever had a goal, a task, you're really enthused about it, and you get started, and it's going great guns. And then day two comes, and day three, and four, and so on. And pretty soon it might turn into a grind. Turns into monotony. Some people fall by the wayside. Sanballat, are they going to be able to complete it in a day? What do they think they're trying to do? They're going to fortify themselves. We've got the great armies around here. They're not going to do nothing. Now Tobiah the Amorite was beside him and said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up to half its height. Why? For the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. They had that attitude. They had that in their heart, we're going to do this task. We're going to ignore the ridicule, people despising you, making fun of the job you're doing. Oh, that wall that they built, a fox is going to jump up on it and tear it down. People against them, they're doing the Lord's work. There is so much in the kingdom to do. We know that. There are people to be saved. There is work in this congregation that can be done. We've got work ahead of us. We've got work that every one of us can chip in and do. And there are others that don't want it to get done. There are others out in that world. What are you Christians doing? Trying to save other people. There's a lot of people that would love to discourage you from the efforts you're making. Now, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became angry. And all of them conspired together. Conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. It's tough enough to have that monumental task ahead of you. But then there's others that are trying to prevent you from getting it done. They're having to stand guard and work at the same time. But they do it. In Nehemiah 4, starting verse 17, it says, "Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far, far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us.'" Nehemiah doesn't try to sugarcoat it. He doesn't try to say, "Oh, we'll get done tomorrow. The work is extensive that we've got to do." Extensive. But you know what? We're trying to work with one hand and stand guard with the other, and we'll do this. "Whenever you hear the trumpet, you come rally together at the weak spot." That's us as Christians. Leaning on each other. Whatever task it is, now there are some things. There are some things in life that we just have to do ourselves. Nobody can be baptized for us. Nobody can repent for us. But there are some things that we just have to go through ourselves. But you know what? The great thing about being in the Lord's church is we have brothers and sisters. And like Nehemiah, you listen to the sound of the trumpet. If we're having trouble, we're all going to flock there and help each other. That's an encouragement I see and an application that I make to today for us. We don't have to try to rebuild the wall by ourselves. Nehemiah didn't have to do it himself. They worked together. And the enemy's trying to prevent all this from taking place. If there's trouble, they will all stand up and help each other out. In Nehemiah 6, it says, starting verse 1, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me harm." They thought to do me harm. They're seeing that the work is getting done. They've tried to ridicule. They've tried to mock them. These guys, they won't have the stick-to-it attitude. They won't hang in there for the work. They'll get tired and want to go home. Maybe they would have done that, but not the Israelites. So they sent messengers to him. "Hey, come down from the wall. Meet with me. Meet with me. Let's talk about this." But Nehemiah understood all they wanted to do was do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Then they sent me this message four times and I answered them in the same manner. They can't stop the work by ridicule. They can't mock us into stopping. So why don't you come down? Let's meet together. Let's talk about this over coffee. No. I've got a great work to do. I'm not going to be distracted by you. I've got a great work. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah wasn't going to fall into their trap and be distracted by them. Verse 14 says, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these, their works. And the prophetess Nodiah and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. They weren't distracted. They knew the work that they were doing was important. Some of the messages for us. They truly cared about doing God's work. Truly cared. Nehemiah did. It bothered him to see the state of disrepair the walls of Jerusalem had suffered. There's things in our life that we may have to take a serious look. Or the kingdom, this congregation, whatever. We have to truly care about doing God's work. Had to be invested in it. Those people weren't going to do that massive work if they weren't truly invested in the work of the church. You have to have the mind to work. Had to have the mind. They weren't distracted. Nehemiah was not distracted or discouraged from others that were outside. That's something that we need to remember. There's a lot of distractions. Distractions of our time. Distractions of our resources. Distractions of others from us serving God. We can't be distracted or discouraged. Why are you doing that? Nobody cares. Your efforts, like the fox going up on the wall, your efforts are not going to be that valuable. They're not going to be that important. You're not going to do a good job. Another factor, they had to work together. Nehemiah would not have gotten that work done by himself. Physically, he couldn't have done it by himself. They worked together. Physically, one person isn't able to do everything in a congregation. One person doesn't get everything done in God's kingdom. We see how they work together. Paul talks about it to the Corinthians, about how the different members are like the members of a body, working together to get a job done. I see a message here that if you don't want to help, at least don't be a hindrance to others. There's a lot of people that may not want to do this or to do that. Okay. You don't have to. But you know what? Don't be a hindrance to those that are. Don't be a hindrance to that person that wants to serve communion. Or that person that wants to clean the building. Or that person that wants to go on a missionary trip. Or that person from teaching. Or preaching on Sunday nights. Don't distract them. Don't be discouraging to that. And the big thing, remember that God is going to accomplish His work. It's going to get done. Jesus said, the gates of Hades will not prevail against my church. God's going to get His work done through us. Are you going to be part of it? The wall got done. I wonder if there was anybody, I'm busy. I got things to do. Don't you know I've got a life? Don't you know I've got a family to raise? Don't you know this? Don't you know that? It's hot. Don't you know whatever? X thing. That wall got built. I wonder once the wall did get built and they were proud of it, how many people came out of the woodwork and wanted to claim success in it. That didn't have anything to do with it. God's going to get His work done. The work in the kingdom will get accomplished through us. There are people out there that need the Word of God. We can take it to them this week. We can invite them to church. We can set up a Bible study. We can pray with them. We can pray for them. Get the work done. What is it? The fields are white, but the workers are few. Get the message out to people this week. If you need to respond to the invitation, the invitation's always open. We set aside here in this congregation, we have an invitation song, and if there's anybody that needs to respond to it, if you want to put your Lord on in baptism, if you want to request prayers of the congregation, we set it aside at the end after the sermon. There's no book, chapter, and verse that you got to do it then. We've had people come forward at the beginning of worship, I need to be baptized. Okay, let's do her. We've done that. We usually set it aside. We never want to leave an assembly of God's people without at least offering the invitation. If you've been studying and you've come to realize it might be that monumental task. You've been studying and you realize there's a lot of things in your life that you've needed to put aside, repent of and change and study, and you have come to the realization, I need to be baptized. I need to be a Christian. This is a great time. If there's sin in your life that you've needed to rebuild that life with Christ, one brick at a time. If you need to repent of sins, we have an opportunity now. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.